Welcome to Insider Insights, where we dive into hot topics facing the financial services industry. Today, we're excited to have with us Brian Hodgins, Head of Research at LIMRA, and David Blanchett, Head of Retirement Research at Prudential, to discuss Prudential's 2025 Global Retirement Pulse Survey and what it reveals about the growing gap between how confident people feel about retirement and the concrete steps they've actually taken to prepare.
Welcome to today's episode. I'm Brian Hodgins, Head of Research at LIMRA, and I'm joined by David Blanchett, Head of Retirement Research at Prudential. Welcome, David.
Good to be here.
David is a leading expert on retirement readiness, lifetime income strategies, and how consumers think about financial security as they approach and live in retirement. He's also a fellow at the LIMRA Retirement Income Institute. Today, David and I are going to talk about a recent study that Prudential did called the 2025 Global Retirement Pulse Survey. This was Prudential's global look at retirement attitudes among mass affluent adults across the U.S., Brazil, Mexico, and Japan. This year's research uncovers what Prudential calls the confidence paradox. I'm looking forward to understanding what that means, David. I think, you know, a majority of people feel confident that they'll cover essential retirement costs, yet far fewer have taken steps to actually get there. And I think the research is going to start, is going to look into, you know, what is it like working with a financial advisor, creating a written plan, thinking about withdrawal strategies. So we'll explore what that means for consumers and the broader retirement landscape. And again, I'm looking forward to hearing some of the findings. So David, why don't we start there? Why don't we begin with sort of the overview of the survey? What were the core findings? You know, why did you call it the confidence paradox? What does that really mean about people's retirement preparedness? What does that mean to you? What did that study say?
Sure. So taking a step back, Prudential has been doing the Pulse survey going on 20 years now. Lots of different surveys covering different topics over the period. And this survey was a bit different. This survey focused on four different countries, as you alluded to, US, Mexico, Japan, and Brazil. And it also focused on the mass affluent. And we define mass affluent as having $100,000 or more in total financial assets, either in the U.S. or the comparable in different countries. So, you know, I mean, a few things at a high level. One, this isn't all Americans. It's Americans who have at least something saved for retirement, but it also does provide kind of a global view to see how themes might be different in the U.S. versus other countries. And the overall narrative was actually very consistent, this idea of the confidence paradox. And, you know, why do we call it a confidence paradox? Well, I think that the one thing that was kind of fascinating about the results is that people are really excited about, confident about, you know, like looking forward to retirement. They feel good about retirement. The paradox part, though, is that a lot of them don't have help. Right. And again, like this isn't the average American. These are folks that have some savings. You know, a lot of them don't have a financial plan. It's not clear how they know how much they're going to need. And so I think that you know, the overall results are one that suggests that people are optimistic. But I think that it does also imply that there's this need for help to help make sure that they can actually fulfill this confidence about retirement.
Yeah. So, you know, when you think about covering retirement expenses, essential, we talk a lot about essential retirement expenses. You know, what is it that when you think about the confidence that they have, that they're obviously saying that they think they're going to be ready to cover those essential expenses? Is it that, you know, the study said like they don't have a written plan in many cases, and is the planning aspect of it really a key component to trying to build up that preparedness, you know, or is it more around the withdrawal strategies? I mean, how do they think about it in terms of actual action steps?
Sure. So, you know, first some numbers, right? You know, we found that 90% of consumers feel like they have what they need to cover essential expenses, right? But only 32% actually have a written plan. And so I think that, you know, maybe a step back is that a lot of people have a lot of faith in things like Social Security, right, or other forms of guaranteed or protected lifetime income to provide that kind of base level of expenses. But it's also not, again, clear to us, like how are so many folks so confident, right? So I've done, you know, lots of research over time thinking about, you know, what percentage of someone's retirement goal is essential or flexible and all that. And I think that for, you know, a lot of these individuals, they still need quite a bit saved for retirement to have that level of certainty around accomplishing their essential expenses. And I think that you know, there are going to be some trade-offs in the future in terms of balancing like needs and wants. But to me, it just speaks to this need that, you know, like people need to talk to someone about their plan to make sure that they are as on track as they think they are.
Yeah.
Because I think that's an issue for me here is this that, you know, like we didn't ask enough questions to like truly test, like, are these people really going to be okay when they retire? But evidence would suggest that a lot of these folks are going to have to make some changes because most Americans don't have what they need to kind of fully replace their income when they retire.
In the role of an advisor in that equation, right? You know, them left to their own to try to make those decisions, I think reduces the confidence over time, right? You got to be, are you suggesting they got to be thinking about working with a financial professional?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, again, like everyone doesn't have to have an advisor, right? So I've been, you know, I did this research, I don't know, 15 years ago at Morningstar, talked about this idea of was Gamma at the time, was quantifying the role of an advisor, right? And I don't think that every American needs to have an advisor all the time. But I also believe that more Americans need to have a financial advisor, right? I think that like the percentage of Americans that have advisors vary based upon the survey. But, you know, retirement is incredibly complicated. You've got to make all these really tough decisions in terms of when you retire, when you claim Social Security, how do you invest your portfolio, how much can you spend? I think that it's really hard for people to do that on their own, even if they're leveraging whatever today's most famous AI tool is. To me, the key is that you need to talk to someone to objectively give you guidance on how you're doing. And I think like the best place to get that today is an advisor.
You know, there's been a lot of talk lately around, you know, some of these impacts on retirement planning, you know, financial impacts. We think about inflation. Inflation has been around. It's been part of the retirement planning preparedness equation for a long time. We've seen a longer term trend of, you know, around 2% on inflation. But certainly, if you were thinking about retiring or in retirement in the last few years, that number's increased pretty significantly. Healthcare costs, right? That's been a big deal. We think a lot about that. Longevity. These are all sort of major factors in the planning process. What did the study share, if anything, around sort of how mass affluent consumers are looking at those things, you know, the retirement assumptions in general? Are there any things that they're overlooking that came out?
It's hard to say what people are overlooking because there are just so many different risks to consider when it comes to retirement, right? You mentioned inflation risk, longevity risk, healthcare risk. There's all these kind of somewhat unique idiosyncratic risks that we have to worry about and manage when we get to retirement. And honestly, it kind of worries me, right? Because we've got an increasing portion of our population who is increasingly responsible for making these incredibly complex decisions, right? And I think that, you know, like one way to kind of help make better choices is to get a financial advisor. Another way to do that would be to, you know, get back to the age of defined benefit plans. And I don't think we're going to get there, just to be clear. Like, I don't think that defined benefit plans make a ton of sense for employers, but you can like DBIs your savings via lifetime income. And so I think that, you know, people that want an easy button on a lot of these risks and a lot of these tough decisions, you know, allocating to lifetime income, whether that be delaying claiming Social Security or buying a lifetime income annuity, are ways to kind of radically simplify and manage a lot of these risks.
Do you think that people think, or you know, the discussions, you know, if they're working with an advisor around longevity? I think about, you know, we see some of this impacts that AI is having right now. We think about, you know, some of the things you read around, is it going to, you know, improve healthcare in such a way, you know, start to solve for diseases that, you know, we haven't solved for today. Maybe, you know, a much healthier lifestyle in retirement, pre-retirement. Okay. If that starts to bend the longevity curve, do you think people are even aware of it? Do you think people are thinking about it that way in terms of the planning?
I don't know that they are, right? I think that, you know, we have things today like GLP-1s that could, who knows, you know, now there's pill forms that could have a radical impact long-term on longevity. You could have, to your point, AI, other innovations in healthcare or biotech that transform longevity. And to me, you know, one thing that I like to point out is that I'm not as concerned about kind of like the modal or the average increase. It's the variance, right? I think that the probability of someone living to age 105, 110, it's increasing from effectively 0% to say 5 or 10%. And all of a sudden, if you know that your retirement could last 40 or 50 years, that's really, really tough. And I think that's the future. I don't think that necessarily all Americans will all live into their hundreds, but as we see more people doing so, it really changes the math around, you know, if you work for 30 or 40 years, but then you live for 30 or 40 years, how do you plan that out in terms of not only your activities, but also just financially? So I think that there's a lot that could change in the future. And it definitely all points to making retirement even more complicated.
Well, I know the survey touched on withdrawal strategies. In your view, I know you've studied this a lot. Why are withdrawal strategies so important? And were there any sort of common pitfalls that you saw in the results there that people think about when they're planning their spend down of their assets?
Yeah, I mean, withdrawal strategies are kind of this kind of central concept behind defined contribution savings, right? So people tend to, when they retire, they roll their money from a defined contribution like a 401k into an IRA, but people don't tend to spend it, right? I think that it's kind of fascinating. I've done research on withdrawal strategies for decades, right? Like, how do you optimally withdraw money from portfolio, whatever. People do not withdraw money from their portfolios, right? If you look at withdrawal behavior among Americans, like it's objectively terrible. Like, and I mean, I understand that there's like this nice benefit of having a pool of money that you can rely upon. But like, people don't tend to get in there until like RMDs kick in. And that's just later and later and later. I think that like one area that an advisor can be very valuable is effectively communicating to someone that it's okay to spend this money, right? I think that we need to think about how to get people to enjoy their savings, because like savings are supposed to be deferred consumption, right? You didn't go on that vacation. You didn't do something when you were younger, and you can not do it when you're older. But I think that again, helping someone understand how they can spend, that might be just as valuable as kind of mapping out some kind of highly exotic withdrawal strategy to help someone figure out how to spend.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, going back towards, I was thinking about it at the beginning, you mentioned this is a global study. I'm interested, you know, you went across U.S., Mexico, Brazil, and Japan. Differences between countries in terms of, you know, retirement planning behavior, expectations, what were some of those?
So, you know, the one theme was that like confidence abounds, right? So again, like 87% of respondents thought that they were going to cover their essential expenses. And I mean, like, just to give you some sense of the range, that's just like between like 90% in Brazil, 89% in the US, 88% in Mexico, and 82% in Japan. So like all really, really high. I think where it was like where the differences were, though, one of the biggest differences is just in terms of financial advisor use, right? So again, in the survey, like these are mass affluent. So they at least have $100,000 in financial assets for retirement. 41%, so they had a financial advisor, and that ranged from 61% in the US to 21% in Japan. So there's a huge gap globally in terms of use of advice, where it is much higher in the US. It was, just to be clear, it was the US 61%, 46% Mexico, 35% Brazil. But there really was differences in terms of financial advisor use across countries. There's some other interesting differences too, like I think Mexico, they were the most interested in like robo type tools. But for the most part, like everyone is quite confident, but how they're kind of figuring out why they're confident varies quite a bit by country.
Do you think is it cultural differences between us and, you know, the US and, you know, you said Japan, I think, was 21%. Is it a cultural difference? Is it just a systemic part of their retirement plan system and as a whole? What do you think some of the differences between that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I think that there is this strong sense among most people in these countries and other countries that they have a strong social system that will cover their essential expenses. So in the US, that's Social Security, right? Other countries have other similar systems. And I think that they do kind of strongly believe that that will be there for them when they retire. It's less clear to me where the optimism comes from for other types of expenses. When we asked about more flexible expenses, the numbers weren't as high, but they were, again, you know, very optimistic. And, you know, someone that focuses a lot on retirement savings, you know, like I do want Americans to save more. And I think they should just be realistic about how they're faring. And, you know, objectively in the U.S., like, you know, I don't share the confidence of these respondents in terms of retirement outcomes. I would like to. But I just think there's more we've got to do in terms of helping people, for example, get in defined contribution plans and save more so they can get to retirement with enough.
That's a good point. Let's go further on that. So, I mean, more savings in DC and defined contribution plans. We've seen, you know, recently a lot of new products entering in, you know, annuities entering into the defined contribution space. I think we're still starting to see some of the uptake on that in terms of those products being offered. But essentially, you're aligned with the idea that, one, we got to save more in our DC plans, but also any thoughts around just the idea of this annuities lifetime income strategies also now becoming more prevalent in the institutional space?
I think it's great. I think that there's a variety of domains where we maybe didn't see or talk about annuities and lifetime income enough previously. And there's a growing recognition that, you know, I like to say, like, you can't solve retirement with the portfolio. Like, I got me wrong. I'm a portfolio manager. Love me some mean variance optimization. But like, that's not a retirement income plan. And I think that what people need are easier ways to solve for retirement. And, you know, the growing interest in lifetime income in defined contribution plans, that's a win. I think more advisors are talking about lifetime income. So I think that there is this just recognition that you know, while many advisors in the past, you know, were really focused on building good portfolios, they're acknowledging increasingly that, you know, a good portfolio is important, but it's just one part of a larger plan. So I think there's definitely progress there. And I just can't wait to see where things are in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, we talk about the three-legged stool of, you know, Social Security, retirement. You know, in the past, it would have been a defined benefit plan. You know, we've seen some of the statistics of that number coming down over time, being replaced by this defined contribution component, and then, of course, Social Security and your personal savings. But, yeah, I think it is shifting to, you know, it has shifted to, you know, it's more reliant on the individual to be investing and saving in the workplace and in their DC plan. Is there any differences in that? And, you know, globally, did you see from the study, are they reliant upon an equivalent of a defined contribution plan or some sort of government plan? Is that more prevalent in other countries in the survey?
So, you know, we didn't really get into those specifics. And if I just think about you know, globally, there is a shift to defined contribution. So I think that, you know, almost regardless of what country we think about, I think there is this increasing personal responsibility. I think that, you know, countries do take a very different approach in terms of, you know, whether you're automatically enrolled in the plan, what is your savings rate in the plan. But again, I think that, like, the future of retirement is us all doing it ourselves. And there are pros and cons to that. But I think that, you know, like, people love defined benefit plans. Well, you can create your own defined benefit plan with your savings. So I think that, you know, I think that there's ways to kind of to help people figure this out. And, you know, people have talked about, like, mandates around annuitization. Like, I don't think we're going to get there anytime soon. But to me, I think what I've just really enjoyed are just the rising percentage of advisors and households kind of actively thinking about how to do this in retirement today versus, say, 10 or 20 years ago.
David, finally, just kind of thinking about summarizing the study, any takeaways you'd share, you know, for the listeners today, that, you know, from income planning strategies, maybe do we have to think about it differently with longevity in play more so in the future? Is there anything different that we should be thinking about in terms of guiding consumers, working with advisors, written plan? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think having an actual plan, having actually crunched numbers, and retirement's more than just a financial plan, right? It's going to be your life for 20 or 30 years. So thinking about how you want to spend your time, what you want to do, I think the key is being proactive. You know, I often say that, you know, when you're in your 30s and 40s, it may feel like a mirage. Like, why am I even saving for retirement? And to be honest, like, I like to use the term financial independence versus retirement. You know, don't think of yourself as eventually playing golf every day if that's not your passion. Think about giving yourself the possibility of doing whatever you want. And unfortunately, for better or worse, like that takes saving money, and saving money isn't easy. But the earlier that you start down that path, the more opportunities you'll have to kind of make better decisions and have a better outcome.
David, great conversation today. Thank you for sharing some of the results from the 2025 Global Retirement Pulse Survey. Look forward to reading more about that, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. You shared some great thoughts around, you know, it's clear that confidence alone is not enough, and that people, even though they believe they're okay heading into retirement, the research, I think, showed that there is a gap of that confidence, and that they need to think about working with a financial professional, having a clear written plan, as you just mentioned, sort of that thinking about those withdrawal strategies. It's all part of the equation, I think, trying to get that confidence level up and become a reality. I also thought it was interesting, the global perspective. It also just sort of reminds us that, while there's different cultures and different retirement systems out there, the underlying challenges are somewhat similar across different regions as well. So again, thanks for sharing that. I really appreciate you being here today.
Good thing.
Thanks for listening to LIMRA's Insider Insights podcast series. To hear future podcasts, subscribe at limra.com/podcast.